from your perspective, what went wrong, especially to the degree that you felt compelled to pull the oil tax bill that you'd called the session together to pass?
Well, Lori, let me be clear before we move on, because am I going to talk about what went right in the session, too, or are we just going to talk about what went wrong?
We can certainly talk about what went right also.
Good, because I think we had some exciting things happen. But okay, if that's with that understanding, go ahead and what question would you like to start with?
Well, just that. Was there a specific moment during the special session that you decided this is just not working and it's better to stop trying with this particular bill than to be unhappy with the outcome?
Well, clearly that was the case. I mean, we had moved from 2011 when the Senate was unwilling to pass anything to 2012 when they passed something for only the new fields that we viewed was less than meaningful in terms of the total picture for Alaska. So we saw progress there, but in the end, there was the inability on the Senate's part to get to 11 votes on a comprehensive tax piece to increase production. And the reason why it's important in existing fields to pull out oil that would not already be coming out is because we know that oil is there, and because that would result in hundreds of thousands of new barrels of oil in the near term. The new fields piece is important, but that's longer term oil that comes on production, you know, in the out years, not in the next year or two. So I felt a comprehensive change was needed. It became even clearer the last few days of the special session that there was no compromise, no accommodation that was going to satisfy. And so I decided that we needed to work on this with legislators and the public through the interim.
Some lawmakers said that it wasn't constitutionally legal for you to pull the bill. What's your reaction to that, and did you get legal advice before you made the decision?
Well, they're clearly wrong about that, and the Attorney General provided legal advice on that. And we also, I mean, for your information, we have be happy to provide you with a summary of that advice. I haven't. Why don't I provide you with the copy of that summary so you can see the basis upon which the decision was made?
Okay, that'd be fine.
Okay.
And you're in conversations that you've had with the public for the last couple of years. You'd said that the oil companies would give adequate details for justifying tax changes that were desired. Lawmakers of both parties have complained that the companies were not presenting information that was sufficiently useful. And even a few days before the Senate adjourned, Revenue Commissioner Brian Butchers told the Senate answers would come from the companies. Did the oil companies sort of let you down in that regard?
Well, I think several senators were asking the wrong question, or at least applying a double standard. For example, they weren't asking the same questions when it came to the film tax credit for the Hollywood producers. They weren't requiring, show me your internal rates of return before we give you these. They weren't asking the right question. The question really is, how do we increase production here? And what we got from the companies were commitments to invest here, and that's well beyond anything that any other administration has gotten when it comes to tax reform, is a level of financial commitment. We're going to go back through the interim and obviously try to address a couple of the questions, but I'm not going to subject our administration to a double standard, but I will answer legitimate questions, and we'll continue working on that.
Do you think, though, that the burden of proof is somewhat different for the oil companies than the film industry? We're talking about vastly different amounts of investment and money.
Well, it clearly is different. And I say that because the same senators who were opposing tax reductions and tax benefits for those who invest here in our oil and gas fields, or who are advocating that for film tax relief, they were making those arguments that it would increase economic growth, jobs for Alaskans, and the like when it comes to the film industry. But they were not willing to make the same leap tax policy drives business decisions in the oil patch as well. And it really comes down to our view of of how do we maximize the benefit for Alaskans of this resource. Oil drives our state. It belongs to Alaskans. And if we do not create an environment here where more investment will come to pull oil out of existing fields as well as new fields, that oil will remain locked in the ground, and Alaskans' stake in that oil is zero. So we will not benefit from oil left in the ground. I'm working to increase production, and we're going to continue looking for ways to convince more legislators that that is in the interest of Alaskans.
Governor, lawmakers of both parties in the House and Senate complained that they didn't have the ability to hear from economic consultants to justify the bills. Did you have consultants under contract?
You know, I chuckle at that because they had their own consultants called PFC Energy. They just didn't believe their consultants, or some of the Senate Democrats didn't believe their own consultants because they actually agreed with the administration. They agreed with the administration that Alaska is not competitive for investment dollars. They agreed with the administration that production is declining and declining precipitously in this state. So they had consultants. We had consultants. They just did not want to listen to their own consultants. And we're talking about a small pool of senators in the Senate majority here.
And did they have an opportunity to hear from your folks under contract? And who was that?
They did in 2011. It was Gaffney Klein. And Commissioner Brian Butcher would have to get that for you, because there were several consultants. But remember, the legislature hired PFC Energy as their consultants, and that's who they're supposed to take advice from, and they just didn't.
And would you say, I'm sure that you were working in tandem with the companies on what this should look like. Did the plans and the bills sort of come forth from the oil companies, or how did the structure get started in the first place?
No, I think the premise of your question is inappropriate and wrong. I looked at this as a production problem. Alaska oil production is declining. How do we work to increase it? We certainly sought information from companies that invest here, but we did not write the bill in tandem with them. Did not do that. Instead, we took ideas from other jurisdictions as well as from our existing system, a tax system, put a bill on the table and began working through the legislature. The House of Representatives passed this comprehensive tax reform to increase production. They passed a bill that addressed pulling new oil from existing fields and pulling new oil from new fields. The Senate could not put together 11 votes to do that, and we are where we are today, declining production, status quo.
Governor, after you amended the proclamation to put only the in-state gas line bill before the special session, several lawmakers felt as if you'd turned the measure over to Speaker Chenault and Representative Mike Hawker. How were you involved yourself in getting the bill passed in the special session?
On HB9, you mean, on the gas line?
Yes.
On that bill, I was personally engaged, as was my administration, in terms of negotiating over terms of HB9 as it would be amended in the Senate. What we ran into, though, was Senate leadership and the chair of CNRA, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, was unwilling to negotiate over terms of that bill to reflect their desires, and they shut the process down. So I was involved to the extent of trying to make sure that bill addressed my concerns and legislators' concerns that the agency have to come back to the legislature for approval before a pipeline was sanctioned. And my goal was to get the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to an open season in 2013 so that we could keep it in parallel with the producers and TransCanada line, because then we have two competing alternatives for Alaska's gas, and Alaskans have the chance to get their gas to market sooner if we have two competing lines at this point.
Were you able to speak directly to Senator Olson, Donnie Olson, or other senators to try to see what it might take to move that bill?
We did, but that, like you said, that was primarily done by the sponsor. It was his bill, and that's the traditional route. this to work through the sponsor.
During the House's final press conference on Monday, Mike Chenault said that the only two must-haves for the in-state gas line were money to continue work on the project and authority for the agency to enter confidential negotiations with other companies. And you've said to the Associated Press and the Alaska Budget Report the exact same thing during the end of the regular session. Mm-hmm. The Senate's first committee substitute had those elements. Why was that not acceptable?
Well, I think, again, it's the sponsor's legislation, and you need to ask him why that was not acceptable. But I was working very closely with the sponsor to try to make sure that we could get Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation through an open season in 2013 to keep Alaska's gas moving in this project.
And what would you like to see happen now? And I understand that you want to talk about some of the good things that came out of it, but let's talk for a minute first about...
You mean another 10?
Sorry.
We're going to get to the good stuff some point here, right?
We sure will. What do you want to see happen now? Another special session later this summer or a focus on next session? What are you thinking?
Well, I want to grow the economy and strengthen Alaska's families. That's what these initiatives are about. And when it comes to increasing oil production, you know, we're going to go back. We'll review kind of what's transpired. We'll look to see whether any legitimate questions were left unaddressed, work to address them, and move forward and work a plan for 2013. At this point, I don't intend to call a special session. I think the Senate has already demonstrated they cannot get 11 votes for a comprehensive change to address our declining production. And, you know, unless something changes nationally or within our state to create something nearer term, I suspect that change will have to wait till 2013.
And, Governor, I know that there were things that happened during the special session that you were happy about. Tell us about those.
Well, there are a few, I mean, that are hugely significant when it comes to Alaska's future. One is we now have completed the design and legislation for the Alaska Performance Scholarships. You remember 2 years ago, we established criteria whereby Alaskan students could earn their way to college or to a job training program. This year, we set up a fund called the Higher Education Scholarship Fund to sustainably fund these scholarships. So with $400 million in the fund, we can live off the interest and earnings from that fund for these scholarships, as well as for the Alaska Advantage needs-based grants. So we now have in place not only the criteria for the performance scholarships, we have a sustainable funding mechanism for them. That's going to create a better educated workforce and just more opportunity for Alaska students. So I think that's a huge win. I think another win was in the public safety arena with more VPSOs for our villages and the trooper backup for them with the passage of our sex trafficking bill to better protect our young people on the streets of our communities. And those are two highlights. I mean, frankly, the third one has to do with the gas line itself, the Point Thompson resolution, which was critical to moving an Alaska gas project forward, and then the alignment of the major players, the three companies with TransCanada, around a large diameter Alaska gas line, you know, to Tidewater in our state. So progress on the gas line there was positive, as well as our education and public safety initiatives. I count those as successes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Governor, for your time. And do you have any reaction to changes in the Republican Party structure? New chair is Russ Millett. Randy Riedrich was in that position for a very long time. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I haven't had the chance to meet Russ Millett, but I look forward to doing that and hearing his plans forward. So at this point, I'd have to leave it at that.